2 months ago, Mary Previty, a former internee at a Japanese concentration camp, was reunited with Jim Hannon, one of the men who freed her in 1945.
So good to see you.
This marked the end of a long journey for Previty. It began on the day after the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. Previty was only 9 years old when she was sent to the Weishin concentration camp. She was attending boarding school in Chifu on the Shandong Peninsula in eastern China. In December 1941, all the teachers and students were moved into the camp. They would remain there for the next 4 years. Compared to some other Japanese camps, Weishin wasn't the worst. No atrocities were committed. But life was hard. The prisoners were crowded into cramped quarters. Previty slept on steamer trunks, and there was never enough food. Then on August 17, 1945, the Americans came.
I was lying on the steamer trunks, really sick with upset stomach and diarrhea because the sanitation was horrible, and I thought I heard an airplane. The other kids were out playing, and I knew it couldn't be an airplane. This was Japanese territory, and why would there be airplanes coming? But you know what? It got louder and louder, and I jumped up off the steamer trunks and began looking out of the barracks window, and here was a B-24 bomber. So low, it was down over the tops of the treetops, like as though it was going to touch the tops of the trees. I was flabbergasted.
A few seconds later, Previty saw 7 men parachuting from the plane. The team was organized by the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, forerunner of the CIA. The 6 Americans and 1 Chinese officer were to take control of the camp and free the prisoners. Major Stanley Steiger was the team leader.
It was about 9 o'clock. In the morning, their time, and we could see guard towers, so I told the pilot to get down to just a little over 400 feet. We wanted to jump as low as possible because we didn't want to be exposed, less as possible as far as the Japanese were concerned. We wanted to hit them fast so they wouldn't know what to do, and we jumped just outside the front gate.
The camp was berserk. They were screaming, they were shouting, there were people dancing, hugging each other, pounding the ground with their fists. There were people trying to jump over the walls. And, people just pushed through the gates. The Japanese must have known that the war was over.
Jim Hannon had joined the team 2 days earlier. He was expecting to see a camp full of starving soldiers.
When I straightened out in the chute, I glanced down and they had burst out of the gates. When we hit the ground, the kids were already out there. Kids were all over us.
We could not let these people out of our sights. We followed these American gods wherever they went. We wanted to hug them. We wanted to... The grown women did hug and kiss them. We kids followed them. We wanted to sit in their laps. We wanted to be with them when they ate, when they went to the toilets. We wanted mementos. We just could not get enough of them.
About the third day at the camp, the little children came to me, quite a group of them, and they wanted me to sing a song to them about a song that was current in the United States. And I had been in China for over a year, and I didn't know what was current at the time in the United States. I did happen to remember a song that was popular in the United States before leaving for China, "You Are My Sunshine." And I'm not a singer, but I sang this song to these little children sitting out in front of underneath trees in the courtyard.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away.
Many times over the years, Mary Previty has told the story of her imprisonment and the brave Americans who freed her. She never forgot their names and often dreamed of thanking them for what they did. In 1997, while successfully campaigning for the New Jersey General Assembly, she was giving a speech to a veterans organization, and she told her audience about Weishin. Previty asked if anyone knew those men.
A few days later, one of the men from the state of Maryland sent me a letter. He had taken my list of names. He was so fascinated. He did a computer search for every name in the United States, name, address, and phone number that matched my heroes. And I started down the list. The first break came in September. A woman from about 5 minutes from my house in New Jersey, phones and says, I've read this article in the Sound Off magazine of the China-Burma-India Veterans Association. She says, my sister lives next door to one of your heroes in the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania, and here's the number. I was spazzed out. I picked up the phone and called, and a lady answered the phone, and I said, I'm calling for Raymond Hanschelak. And she wanted to know who I was, and I explained, and I heard her gasp, and she said, oh, my. She said, my Raymond died a year ago.
The next team member Previty tracked down was Peter Orlick, but she was too late again. Orlick was dead. She realized time was not on her side, so she doubled her efforts.
On a Sunday night, I picked up the phone and called. There was only one Tad McGackie on my list of hundreds of names, and I called Alliance, Nebraska, tiny dot on the map. And I said, I'm calling for Tad McGackie. And he said, speaking, I had found my first hero.
Through Ted McGackie, she was able to track down Jim Moore, then Major Steiger, and Jim Hannon. She's gone to see them all. She has thanked them all, but says they don't see themselves as heroes. Team member Jim Moore says he was just doing his job.
I hadn't thought of it, particularly in years and years until Mary Privity decided that she wanted to find us all.
How can you be one of just seven people jumping out of an airplane facing possibly an entire army and not think of that every day?
Listen, it wasn't really that big a deal. The war was over, and the main danger, I think, was in the jump itself, and my own feeling was one just of exhilaration and happiness that I'd made it safely on the ground and got a good reception.
I cannot imagine jumping out of a plane at 400 feet, dropping out of the sky with one side arm into a hot, a devil's nest of potential gunfire and death to save people they never even knew. And when I call these men heroes, they get embarrassed and say they're not heroes. They say they were only doing what any American would have done. It leaves me speechless with wonder. I could never say enough thank yous. So I have crisscrossed America to find these heroes, and I have given myself this extraordinary gift of being able to say thank you to these men face to face.
Jim Moore, Stanley Steiger, Jim Hannon, Ted McGackie, Raymond Hanschelak, Peter Orlick, six ordinary Americans. They are Mary Previty's heroes.